Croatia happened to be one of Mishko's daughters. And he also went through master's seminary at the same time you did.
I graduated in 98. When did you graduate? Myself?
Yeah. No, Walter, when did?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the connection. And we've known Mishko for, since 1987 when we met at Grace Community Church. Mishko was a pastor from, I think you were 29 years old or even younger than that. And he had a church in Austria. And then he came to Grace Community Church in 1987 to get his doctorate in theology. And we were attending the church down in California at that time. So we met, struck a friendship. We were in the same Bible study. And so we became good friends. And so Mishko started up a church in Croatia, his native country, in Krapina, as you'll see. And he's been pastoring that church for, since 1990 or so, I believe. And so that's what he does. He's got four children. And he'll talk about them a bit because they're all in Croatia, and they all do church planting. So they're very involved in evangelism. And as you'll see, Mishko, besides being a pastor, he also heads up the Theological Bible Academy in Croatia. And that's where many of the pastors were trained there through his TBA. So he knows many of the pastors in Croatia. And Gerda and I have been going to Croatia since, I think about 2008, 2007, and teaching at the school and also speaking at the many churches out there. So we've known Mishko and Mir for a long time and their children as well. So we appreciate their ministry. And since, Walter was not here, Mishko was at the Shepherd's Conference this past week. And, normally Walter would be there too, but he wasn't there this time. And so Mishko was in town to speak at another church. And so we said, with that connection, and since he's here, why don't we have him speak at CBC as well? So let me just open up a word of prayer, and then Mishko will speak. And afterwards, we'll have some time for Q&A. Father, we come to you. We just thank you for this time. We just thank you for Mishko and Mir and their children and their ministry over in Croatia. We thank you for that. They have a great impact on evangelicals there. And we just thank you for his solid teaching. And we just ask you just to bless this time, give them the words to share, and just bless the results. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mishko.
I really am pleased to be here tonight and share with you a little bit about what the Lord is doing in our part of the world, and also to share with you the joy of seeing what the Lord is doing here. So I'm pleased to, after many, many years, to meet Pastor and his part of his family here. Pastor Green, thank you for to honor me to be tonight here, your guest, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity. Now, I think there is nothing more that I could say after Dr. Laklama introduced me. Thank you very much. Dr. Laklama, for the opportunity, and as he said, we became friends since 87 when we met at one of our Bible studies at the Grace Community Church while I was studying there. And little by little, we became friends, and so people were curious to find out how this first, one of the first international students at TMS, the Master's Seminary, came over from former communist country of Croatia. Actually, to be exact, we left Yugoslavia and returned to Croatia, Yugoslavia, as a communist country belonging to Eastern communist bloc, fell apart. And so six republics became six independent states, and Croatia being part of it. So as you can see, we border, we don't have this light to show. Croatia borders on the north with Hungary, and on the south, on the seaside, with Italy, and so forth. Anyway, as I said, it became independent in 1991. I will show you just a few of the towns, and I want to point out to the city of Osijek. Actually, a year ago, our oldest son, who is 56, was asked by a Baptist Union president to say, Momir, that's his name, would you like to go to Osijek and help a devastated church to bring a life? And so he consented, and they moved there and are doing, I think, a good job as well. So to say that, our whole family is involved in the ministry. The three of our daughters married to pastors. When they were young girls, I told them, you know, I would love you to marry pastors. And they said, where are they in Croatia, young pastors, you know, to marry? So Sanja found one here and brought him back to Croatia. And the two of them, I said, we have to pray. And they were married to pastors. And all of our children are in full-time ministry. That's something that really is a real blessing to us, to Mira and I, my wife Mira and I. So, as you know, we have four children. One of them are twins. And 19 grandchildren, plus one great-grandchild. So we are getting there, populating Croatia. Anyway, just to show you a little bit about our area, it's being blessed with so many old buildings. We have a beautiful sea coast and other tourist resorts. You can see Krapina here, the main capital church, with 85% Croatian population. And Krapina itself, I think, is proud of saying that there are 97% of Roman Catholics living in Krapina. So it is a monolithic society. Very difficult to penetrate with the gospel. To them, being a Croat means, full stop, being a Roman Catholic. And if you say that you are a Christian, no, you are not Christian because you are not Roman Catholic. But anyway, the Lord is using his small church and a few of us working there. And the church was born in 1990. This is a part of Krapina, a few buildings there and so forth. However, as I mentioned that Mira and I, when we got here, got to a Bible In Northridge, we had every second Friday, a group that studied the Word of God. What do we call that?
It's a home Bible study.
Home Bible study, yeah, group. And we got to know Heinz and Gerda, and soon after a few, I think, months, Gerda started to talk to Mira that she's in quilting ministry. and Mira didn't know what it was. And so when she has shown her what she is doing, Mira got excited. And these are a few of the things that she made herself, and now she passed it on to other ladies in Croatia who are interested in quilting ministry. Through that, ladies have heard the gospel, and we believe that that word that is being shown to and told to other ladies in our region will bring more much fruit. So part of Krapina. Oh, what's going on? These are our children on the left hand side. Three sisters holding our son, their brother. They are singing here, and this is our family. So more of Krapina. However, I have to bring your attention to this picture because Krapina is a hometown of Neanderthal Museum. You know, that's supposed to be a cave that we came out from that many million years ago. And anyway, I believe that Krapina suffers God's judgment even, and because of that, there are two big problems in Krapina: worshiping Mary and worshiping not biblical view of beginning of man, but Neanderthal Museum and believing that man just came out of animal part of the world. Yeah. Anyway, Emmanuel Baptist Church was started in 1990. The lower part of this building belongs to our church. On Sunday, we run around 40 to 50, sometimes 60 people, which is a grand progress, and we are grateful for that as well. Now, here is our family group some years ago, and we are happy to see a number of young people being saved and being part of what the Lord is doing in Krapina. This is me preaching. I don't know who took this picture for. So we were... excuse me, I have a problem with my voice. I think we try to recognize here the fellow in front of... not the bald man in front of me, but the man behind. It is Chris Brackett, who, when he got his doctorate, we wanted to honor him and his wife for the hard work. And now, as a missionary, after 25 years, he left Croatia and Krapina and came back, and he's overseeing academic program for TMAI, missions endeavor to build and organize schools around the world. Now, the TMAI is proud of running and establishing 19 schools, and one of them is being started in Krapina, which we name TBA, Theological Biblical Education. And it was a real blessing to have honored Chris for being accomplishing his studies. That's Chris on the right-hand side. So sometimes he baptized people, and on the other time, yeah, I'm sorry, my voice is going down. Because of the cold weather here, I can't stand it, you know. I'm running away from the United States. Oh, sorry. Oh, what's going on? Here. Ooh. This is not going to stand. Thank you. So, we wanted to show some of the baptisms here. We wanted to show you some home prayer meetings. Walter being here on the left-hand side. We have an older gentleman saved when he was 74 years old out of one of the Oriental religions. And he said to us in one of the prayer meetings, you know, Mishko, if the Lord would have taken me before I was 74, I would be in hell. And now he's 86 or 7 years old, and he's still very faithful in sharing the gospel to many people that wherever he goes. Now, we have some young men here, Chris being on the left-hand side, that we teach and train. And some of them will become our future leaders. And one of them on the right-hand side, he's the son of that older gentleman who got saved when he was very old. Now, here are some ladies, some young people, ladies' meetings. I think it was a Christmas party for them. Now, during the summer months, do we have time here? I don't want to go over it. During the summer months, we run camp ministry. Number of our graduates get together, and they try to motivate young people to come to our camps. They are being exposed to solid biblical teaching, where the Word of God is being preached expositorially, and they really enjoy it. And for example, Baptist Union, which has more authority over all the churches, runs much smaller camp than we do. So that shows that for one reason or the other, the Lord is really blessing us in many ways. Now, during the week, we go out with the literature table, we share the gospel with people who come to a marketplace, and that's where we distribute the Word of God and talk to those who come and are having questions. Now here, I am involved in radio ministry actually only once a week for 15 minutes. It's very expensive, but still, they told me that we reach out to probably 140,000 people, which, you know, almost none of them were ever in the church setting, Protestant church setting as we have it and run it, because they want to go to Roman Catholic churches and churches where there are priests and steeples and all kind of icons and so forth and so on. So anyway, beside that, this is a theological biblical academy. We have one of the professors who is also American, but lives in Bosnia. This is another state of former Yugoslavia. And Mark Wunderworth teaches for us when he's a Mr. I call him Mr. Mission, because he has a heart for missions and also discipleship. Here are some students, and and also students over there. One of the former students some years ago. I was teaching a group of the men who came to us for seminars, and this is our first graduation. We are so pleased to see the Lord bless smaller country in former Yugoslavia, which has a very small percentage of Bible-believing churches, and yet the Lord blessed us with students, and so we are pleased to You will see one lady there. She is not a graduate who will pastor the church. And we would never bring her into a class where she would be trained how to do the pastoral work or whatever. But she is very involved in women's ministry, and the Lord is really blessing her. Now, here is another graduate class years after that. Now, and another one. And now, we have, what is, just a second. Yeah, we also have seminars here. Our son is in the blue shirt on the right-hand side. Yeah. You have seen at the beginning the city of Split on the screen, and we were invited to city of Split on the Dalmatian coast, and we taught there. Now, how? Ever on the left-hand side, you can see this smaller man on the right-hand side, and I think you can recognize him. It's our old-time friend. Laklama teaches in one of the churches on the subject of apologetics. So we were able to really introduce him to number of churches in Croatia, and you had also opportunity to speak on television, right, and for the radio. It was a real blessing to have come to know that there were guys who were able to open those doors for him. So anyway, now this is the youngest generation of our students. The three of them on that lower picture are from our church, and the couple of them are a little bit older. One of them is having 49, the other one 45. But the Lord has really blessed us with these guys who have a heart for the Lord and heart for the Word of God. And so you can see the picture above. On the right-hand side, these are men from our church who are active and a blessing. And some of them we see in the future to become elders and deacons and so forth and so on. Anyway, this is a class that Chris taught hermeneutics recently in Krapina. The real joy of seeing guys how even at the beginning of these studies, when they preach or share the Word of God or in the Bible study context, that they are bringing up precious stones from the Word of God. Now, once he began reading books by John MacArthur, Paul Washer, and other evangelicals translated into his native tongue by the publications department of TBA, Boris is here on the left-hand side that I wanted to bring your attention to. He desires to know more of God and be of greater service to him in order to grow. However, after many months of prayer, Boris and Mina, his wife is Afro-American, moved to Krapina to begin serving with the Baptist Church, Emmanuel, and for Boris to begin study at TBA. Now, they were part of... they were part of recovery. Recovery program. Actually, they were plagued with drugs. Their lives were devastated, and yet they heard the gospel in that context. And after a number of years, as Boris got on the internet, he discovered MacArthur, Paul Washer, Steve Lawson and so forth. And when they have seen and heard on the internet our preaching in Krapina, they said they have to move to Krapina to be part of our church and get involved. And so I want to bring to you attention so that, and they have also their kind of prayer card over there on the table. If you would like to begin to pray for them, maybe in a couple of years' time, they will take responsibility or greater responsibility of the church in Krapina itself. So here is another couple also. Now, the guy on the right-hand side who is prepared to be baptized, he's in eighth grade. But as you talk to him about spiritual things, you would think that he is perhaps 25 to 30 years old. So mature. He's so hungry for the Word of God. And being former Roman Catholic, he actually exploded. His mom became Christian, I think, a couple of years ago. He started to attend our meetings, and he became a Christian. And not only that, but he brought another nephew, to the church, and he got saved. So we have three nephews, one after the other, in our church. This is really amazing, because for a number of years, Mira and I were praying that the Lord would penetrate into families. And I just want to mention that, that when Sanya and Walter, our daughter and son-in-law, moved to Krapina, their neighbor just one day knocked on the door of their house and asked for help. He said to himself, these are Americans, they have money, they will probably take their wallet out and give him money. And Walter told him, he said, he saw that he's a little bit drunk, said, I have a work for you. Here is, for you opportunity to earn money. I'm not going to give you money. And so he walked away. But then he saw that he wasn't successful in getting money. He sent his one of his daughters. And one of his daughters, after her dad passed away because of he was killed in a car accident, came back to the church and got saved. Now we have five folks. It's a little bit bigger family from their church, and they're members of our church in Krapina. But Walter and Sanya left, went to another town to do the job. But their influence in Krapina was really great. This lady on the left-hand side, she's Ukrainian. We could say that she's a member of Walter's and Sanya's group. She comes from Ukraine. Actually, when the Ukrainians started to run away from the war zones, Walter and Sanya offered to an organization which were running to help bring those runaway Ukrainians to Croatia. And so they brought this lady. She used to be wife of one of the leading politicians in Ukraine. She was divorced. And when she got to know Walter and Sanya, they shared the gospel with her, and she was gloriously saved. You know, this is absolutely wonderful, because you hear in the Word of God that Holy Spirit moves where he wants, he's just like a wind. And are we over with the time? What's the time now? 4:34. No. We believe that she will be able to reach out to other Ukrainians because she's moving among them. She's also teacher by profession, and so pray that she will reach out to Ukrainians in Croatia. Well, again, ladies meeting, and yet, this is Mina. She's wife of Boris that you have seen on the picture. She's now secretary of TVA. Though her native language is English, she's also completely fluent in Croatian. They want to minister in our church, and she likes to sing with a group in the church. Our son on the right-hand side, she has also joined the church's worship team, a graduate of the University of Washington in Seattle. You know the city, right? And her dream is to one day continue her education in biblical counseling. Now, she got to know the Lord in Zagreb's this rescue, whatever mission she came to as well. As her husband, as a younger lady. Yeah. This is Paul Washer. In the Eto Center, you see this couple of rooms. This is Chris and me. We were teaching, we were invited to teach on their premises. And these guys got to know about Paul Washer through internet ministry, and came to Croatia and had a wonderful time with him, and many Christians from almost other states around came to hear him preach and teach. On the right hand side is Marco. He is one of our graduates. So you can see that in teaching area, in camp ministry, and also churches ministry, we are populating churches with our graduates. Yeah, Boris on the left-hand side and Chris on the right-hand side. This is summer ministry that we have for a week in Krapina, in our town, where children from 7 years old to 17 can come. And sometimes around 150 of them would come from pagan homes to be exposed 6 hours every day for 5 days solid to all kinds of activities, for example, singing, hearing the gospel being preached, games and all kinds of other stuff that they do with young people. And so you can see that they serve. Boris will help him to lead the evangelical English camp held annually in BC hometown. That's between the two of them agreement. Oh, this is the young people, this younger couple, preparing for the future of church leadership in Croatia. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. They are really a blessing to us and a tremendous encouragement. And if you would like to pray for them, that they would have a even greater burden for the Lord, for the studies, for the Word of God, and that the Lord would see to that one day he would step probably into my shoes. So please pray for Croatia and pray for surrounding countries. if you hear about Kosovo problems, if you hear about Bosnia problems, and if you hear about Serbia problems, they need the gospel, they need revival, they need the word of God, they need to hear about the Lord. These are pagans, they are exposed to what you call Roman Catholic teaching, Muslim teaching, Orthodox churches type of teaching in eastern part of former Yugoslavia. And this is where we try to help and minister, because some of the students come from Serbia, some of them from Bosnia, some of them from Slovenia, and so, and a number of them are already back in their home towns, in their own countries, teaching the word of God and reaching out to their people. So this is the time that I have had with you guys today. Thank you very much for listening. My voice is actually really betrayed me today. Hard time to concentrate, and yet this is something that blesses my heart, preparing for the future, the church in, I would say, in this part of the world, and especially in Croatia. Shall we thank the Lord for the opportunity? Yeah, please bow our heads. Father in heaven, thank you, even though my voice is giving up on me, I believe that you will continue to bless, to reach out to these lost people. I believe that you will speak through those students of ours, graduates, to churches, so that they would hear clear word of God, clear teaching, biblical preaching, exegetical approach to scriptures. Lord God, we pray for the ministry that you have entrusted us with, either in church context or youth camps or biblical teaching by either extension or residential studies. So Lord, we pray for revival. We pray that people will be ushered into your presence by hearing the word of God, that they will cry unto you for mercy, for forgiveness. I pray, O Lord, that you will use the tool of TMAI, which is so busy around the world and in Europe, Lord God, so that those continents which have had many centuries ago opportunity to be exposed to the gospel, and now they are full of liberalism and paganism and all kinds of isms, Lord God. And yet we would love them to come back to their roots, to receive you, to receive the word of God, to trust in you, to give up on their stupid beliefs, Lord God, that are being in such a way rampant, and churches are being torn apart, and they've gone into liberalism and all kinds of paganism. So, Father, we thank you that you have your remnant. You have the church here in United States. There are schools here, and the professors here, there are brothers here and sisters who pray and give and go and help us on the mission field, so that the word of God, which is not being bound, will bring forth much fruit. We pray these things in your loving name. Amen. Thank you, folks.
Okay, well, we do have some time for Q&A, so if you have a question that you want to ask Mishko about what's happening in Croatia that he hasn't covered, just put up your hand. I'll bring the microphone around. I see one hand here.
Mishko.
Yes, please.
With Chris Brackett leaving, what is Walter now doing? What's his new responsibilities?
Oh, yeah. Walter is taking his room, his place, actually. He's becoming deputy, what we call a deputy dean of studies. Yeah. He's really taking it, his full responsibility on himself. He's so precise, as you know, in his presentations of, especially in the area of administration. I'm sorry, this is being wet. And he's different than Chris is, you know, and he's bringing another dimension. I worked with Chris for now almost 24 years, and now I'm working closely with Walter, and I shared with Laklama, I discovered that they are different, and I knew that this will happen, but I really appreciate the way he approaches professors, students, administration. He's meticulous there. Really meticulous. I'm not saying that Chris was not, but Chris was kind of a little bit more easygoing guy. That was his gift, and kind of perhaps a little bit more approachable. But Walter, I think maybe that's because of the fear of the Lord that's him, you know. He goes by the book. And he finds, even in our students, booklet that they're supposed to read, and that they would know what are their responsibilities and so forth. And he would pick up a mistake and point it to our attention. He said, I would like this to be changed. So he's particular. He's meticulous in that regard, but has a heart for people. He really does.
Really good to hear. Are you guys looking for new missionaries coming over, and are missionaries being equipped at the Master Seminary, for example, and are they coming?
Yeah, we had a meeting with our elders at TMAI, and he suggested that we should bring at least three guys to Croatia. But I think that elders were not against that idea, but I don't believe that that in the near future we will be able to have that opportunity to get them, because, you know, the TMAI influence around the globe is absolutely phenomenal. I don't know, have you heard that especially in the Spanish department, they have 800 students which they study on the master's level on the premises on the ground of Grace Community Church. They have on the tower, the top part is in their hands. And this is amazing what the Lord is doing with Spaniards, you know, or Spanish speaking world. From they are coming from South America. Yeah, amazing. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to get this question here, but What is your greatest challenge, both in the church and in the school, TBA?
TBA, greatest challenge. Of course, whenever we pray for students, number one. Because pastors of the schools that are not being run by TBA graduates would discourage anybody to come to our school and study. Let me give you one example. The leading church in Croatia had a young fellow, and his pastor encouraged him to study at a liberal school in Zagreb, capital of Zagreb. And do you know, when he came to the first class, the teacher, professor who came to teach a class, you know what he taught him? The subject was architecture of Roman Catholic churches. And after the first hour, he left. He left the building, went back to his pastor and said, I'm not going there. And so he came to us, to Krapina, against the will of his pastor. And he himself, that young man, realized that this is a hopeless place to be, and that he's going to be taught wrong theology and the wrong principles of the ministry.
Question here.
I was wondering, with Croatia being so predominantly Roman Catholic, do you experience a lot of persecution or opposition from the Catholic Church?
Of course, thank you for the question. A number of gentlemen that I know and who are having an influence in our hometown told me, Miško, we are defending you in the town because you are all the time being attacked. And I told them and said, look, those people who attack us, please tell them to ask me, and I will defend myself. You don't need to defend me. I didn't want to tell them, you don't know how to defend me. You know? Anyway, we are not accepted. We are a pain in the neck in our community. As I said, on the radio ministry, I have so much freedom from time to time in 13 minutes message long. I would, if the text allow me, I would attack Roman Catholic theology. I would say, not per se, you know, we hate Roman Catholicism and so forth and so on. I always would point out, we love Roman Catholics. However, on that particular doctrine, they teach this, that salvation is not by grace alone and faith alone, by Christ alone, as the reformers would teach. But they're saying, actually, then I quoted from one of the small books by one of the leading Roman Catholic theologians. He offered 8 formulas how people can get saved. For example, one being, if you are an honest atheist, God is going to save you in the end. Do you know why? Because you were honest in your unbelief. I mean, what are you talking about there? You know? Or he explicitly said, God is going to save Muslims because they believe in one God, you know? Or he has a great heart, and so he offers his mercy, and he will extend it to everybody else. But in their dogmatic theology that is not public, they would say, and they are saying it, that only evangelicals who came out of Roman Catholicism and formerly they were Roman Catholics, there is no hope and salvation for them. So we will end up in hell. That means also including me, because I left Roman Catholic Church. So anyway, we have to love them, forgive them, but preach the truth to them. Truth and nothing else but truth.
Mishko, in just a couple minutes, how did you get saved?
Oh, in communist army in 1963, I was 21 years old. I was talking to a soldier colleague who was in the rank with me, and so we became kind of friends. And one evening on the polygon outside at 8 o'clock, he told me, he shared the gospel with me, and the question was, Mishko, do you believe that the Lord Jesus died for you on the cross, that you, if you believe in him, you will have eternal life? This nomenclature, eternal life, I have never heard up to that point before in my life. And that was the trigger, and I was saved. As I look back to that, I didn't know. I knew that something happened to me, but I didn't know what it was, you know. And actually, I never seen the Bible in my life before that. And it took him 14 days to smuggle New Testament into the garrison. What do we call it? Garrison? Yeah. And I started to read. And in 6 months, as I was in army, I went 6 times through it. And then later on, he brought me the Bible and read the Bible. And I was cleaning my tongue. And I was just, overwhelmed with the message, with the content of the scriptures, with the clear teaching on this absolutely fundamentals of faith, what we call them today. So that was only the grace of God. None of my, I did not deserve a thing. Grace of God and the gift of God.
You are involved in a few other ministries too. I mean, you have this table you set up in the market.
Yeah.
I think every Thursday or so for a while. And how effective is that? Are you getting people that are coming to the church because of that? Or
we have only one result all these years that we know. But we have had many people tell us that I have this, I have that, and I have this, and can I have that? So they are reading it. However, let me share one example. As I talked to a gentleman, he said to me, Mr. Mishko, I read daily scriptures with my wife, and we are Christians. However, we appreciate what you are doing, but we will never come to your Baptist church. And I asked him the reason he didn't want to tell me that.
It's because they won't come to evangelical
yeah.
church.
Yeah. yeah.
Because
yeah.
Presumably they're from Catholic this background.
This is commentary from the silence, right? Yeah. You come to that conclusion, you know. Actually, even a former town mayor told me once, recently when I met him, I was going to radio station and he was going out. He said, Mr. Mishko, I listen to your program every Wednesday when it is on 6 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. See, all the time. But he never came to the church. And so that's the way it is. And I was at a visiting a doctor lady. She put me horizontal position. She checked my blood and heart thoroughly. And I said to her, "Are you going to electrify me and kill me on that thing?" She said, "But who would preach to us the gospel on the radio?" And many times we have heard those things, but no response, not public response.
It's hard to quantify it.
Yeah. God knows.
Yeah. Okay, so I think we're going to close the Q&A for now, but Mishka will be here for a bit, so if you have other questions, you can ask him. And he's got some booklets back on the table, ministry stuff, and you're free to take that as well.
Yeah.
Let me just close in a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Father, we just thank you for Mishko and Mir's ministry and the ministry of their children over there in Croatia. Very difficult environment, Lord, and yet you know how to gain the hearts, Lord, even of the Roman Catholics. Some come to faith, but they don't tell you. But, Lord, we just pray for each soul that is saved there, and we just pray for many more souls to be saved through their ministry. And we just pray for Mishko's time here too, Lord, that tomorrow when he brings two messages to another church, that he would, you'd keep his voice strong so he could be able to share and just cure him of the cold that he's carrying. And bless his time and just give him traveling mercies when he travels back home again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.